Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Do you find yourself in a constant struggle trying to get your teenager to do their chores? Well, today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 26, is titled Stop the Parent-Teen Chore Battle. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW. And that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you've always dreamed of. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, come to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, today we're answering a question from Al of Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is interesting since there was a recent jump in sales of my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle in Chattanooga, so someone there is spreading the word with their friends. Maybe it's Al. In any case, thanks, Chattanooga. Well, Al writes, I've got three kids, 16, 15, and 11, and they're all great kids, but the one area that takes the most energy is getting them to do their chores. They all know what their chores are, but they don't do them unless we tell them to, and then we get, later, I'm busy now, and of course they never get to it later. I end up raising my voice, and they reluctantly do as they're told, only to have the same thing happen again throughout the week. This issue is taking its toll on home life. What can we do? Well, Al, this is a great question, so thanks for bringing it up. You know, I've had the parent-teen chore struggle come up in my counseling office several times this week alone. So let's take a look at the subject of chores and how to support your kids in doing their chores and make it, for you, well, less of a chore. When I looked up the word chore in the dictionary, the first definition was a routine task. Now, I like that definition, and now if we could just get the routine tasks done in a routine way, well, that would be the ticket, wouldn't it, Al? It's the second definition that's the problem. It goes like this, an unpleasant but necessary task. Ah, this is what hangs us up. We all get hung up on the unpleasant part, and unpleasant becomes a psychological theme that plays out in our minds and especially in our kids' minds. They think of chores as unpleasant things that can be put off. But if we think of them more as routine tasks and less as unpleasant tasks, things just might go a little bit better. Now, why do we want our kids to do chores anyway? Well, I could think of three important reasons, and let me know if you can think of other ones. Number one, learning critical life skills. You know, to do well in life, we need to know how to take care of the basic infrastructure of our lives. You know, we need to know how to organize things, how to cook, clean, do the laundry, pay the bills, yard care, car care. Kids aren't going to learn these things if they aren't taught. Kids often go off into independent living without a clue for taking care of their space or staying organized or just managing the infrastructure of life. And this impacts their ability to be successful as they enter their young adult years. Secondly, it's important for kids to learn to participate in their community. We are social animals, and we're always going to be living in communities, and the community your kids are living in right now, or one community that they're living in right now, is their family. And we need to see ourselves as contributors to the communities in which we live. We don't want to raise little princes and princesses who are good at enjoying all the things that others do for them, and they don't step up and do their part. They need to know that their efforts matter and that they're confident in offering their skills. The other reason is that many hands make light work and their participation can add real value. I know it takes more work up front for us to teach them, but it pays off if they can actually do the jobs. We need their help. Parenting is a lot of work, and if parents have to do everything, particularly those things that kids can and ought to be able to take care of for themselves, it leads to parental burnout, and we don't want that. All right, here are some common mistakes I often see parents make. I'll hear, "My kid's job is going to school. I don't want them to focus on household chores. I want them to focus on their schoolwork and their school activities." Well, school and schoolwork and school activities, yes, but it's just plain wrong to say that they don't have responsibilities in the home. Home belongs to all of us, and we all need to participate in its upkeep. And kids, at the very least, need to learn how to clean up after themselves. Here's another one. "My kid's allowance is payment for doing their chores. And if they don't do their chores, they simply don't get their allowance. If they do half their chores, they get half their allowance." Well, this is someone's idea of how to motivate their kids, but let me be blunt. It's not good to pay for chores. Chores are things that are necessary. They need to be done whether we like it or not, and they need to be done routinely. So if they have the option of not doing it and then not getting paid, that's not, it's a mixed message for what a chore really is. It's great for kids to get an allowance so that they can have some discretionary money and begin to learn the value of money, but that's a whole nother discussion. Chores are simply routine things that we need to do for life to go well, so we do them. Now, if there's extra, less routine tasks beyond chores that your kids want to do to earn extra money, that's fine. Here's another mistake that's commonly made when parents expect that by assigning chores that their kids should be able to do them, and if they don't, they're being uncooperative, defiant, or oppositional. Let's not think of it that way. Just like everything else, if we want our kids to learn to manage routine tasks, we need to teach them both do the task and how to maintain the routine. That's our job. If your kid is being defiant or oppositional, then you and your kid have developed a control battle-based relationship, at least around chores, and you're going to need to employ some control battle-ending strategies. And the strategy I'll suggest in just a minute or two will address that. Okay, let's look at how to get on with the business of getting you and your teen in a good place with chores. Number one is start early. If we start when our kids are toddlers and keep it going through childhood, keeping chores as routine, then as they hit adolescence, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier. So let's say, for instance, your kid is now four, and you and they organize, straighten, and clean the room once a week together. And little by little, they'll do more of it and more of it on their own. And then by the time they're teenagers, they'll have the skill and the routine down. The way to build independence with this, for instance, room straightening, is to start by, when you're doing it together, little by little, invite them to take over. For instance, you might ask the question, "Well, where does this go?" And when they say where it goes, you reinforce that response with, "Excellent, go ahead and put it there." And when things are straight and it's time to get into the cleaning part, you say, "Well, what do we do next?" And when they say dust, for instance, you say, "Perfect, I'll get the high parts and you get the lower ones." In this case, you're making it fun and routine and finding lots of opportunities to reinforce their knowledge and reinforce their skill. So instead of plopping an unfamiliar task in front of them, that they're simply continuing a familiar routine. The same is true for cleaning a bathroom or planning a menu and cooking a meal. When we start early, independence from parents doesn't mean avoiding responsibilities. It means doing responsibilities on one's own. But since adolescence is a bit of a game changer with kids pushing away from parents, there will still need to be some reinforcement of the chore routines. But by starting early and keeping it up, life's going to go a heck of a lot easier. Okay, Al, I know what you're thinking. This is all great, Neil. I screwed up. I can't turn back the clock. What do I do now? Well, no worries, Al. And all you other struggling parents out there, we will simply do a little remedial chore routine skill building with your teenagers. Here are the principles. Make it routine, make it fun, set it up for success. All right, let's start with routine. When assigning a chore, talk with your son and daughter or daughter and be clear about a time and a day. Certain times you can be flexible and negotiable with, such as when they clean their bathroom, and at other times you won't be, like setting the table before dinner, for instance. But doing the chore or task at a certain time needs to be considered part and parcel of the chore or task itself. If you are assigning something such as taking out the garbage, be specific. For instance, you might say, always check right after dinner, and if it needs taking out, then do so. If the task is to bring the garbage cans down to the curb for weekly pickup, assign a specific time that it takes place, such as right after dinner on Tuesdays and before you start anything else. That allows it to be more of a routine and doesn't invite procrastination. Routine is good for most cleaning tasks. It would be ideal if the whole family did their cleaning tasks on the same day at the same time, and that would make it less lonely and more fun and more reinforcing, but it just doesn't seem realistic these days. So it's best to make sure that there is a time and a day for all the cleaning tasks to be done. Now, how do we make it fun? Well, I've got a couple of ideas. Add music, have people working together so it's less lonely, and keep the tone always light and positive. If someone's doing some cleaning, you could check in with them, just say hello, help out if there's a way to help out. I mean, just don't want to make it this onerous, horrible, lonely, miserable thing that someone has to do. There are a couple of elements for making it successful. One is to have clear, high standards. For instance, if your son's chore is to clean up the dog poop in the backyard, do it with him a time or two and show him how to make sure he gets all of it and it's picked up the way you want it done and the poop is disposed of the way you want it disposed of. Then check from time to time to make sure that the standard is being upheld. Second element for success is never criticize. If a task isn't done well enough or in a timely way, simply point out what is done well and then what needs to be improved. For more complicated tasks, like cleaning the bathroom, make sure they know all the steps and products and how to use them correctly. And you can go online and there are sites for instructions and videos for how to clean bathrooms and clean bedrooms. Discuss the methods and the standards so that everyone is clear. And be sure to check when tasks are done and give lots of recognition. Even if the work is not done as well as you would like, give recognition and praise for the part that is done well and the way you want to see it done, and then invite them to improve either now if it's necessary or the next time they do that task. Give recognition and appreciation for their work. Tell them how good you feel when they do their chore. For instance, you might say, oh, I feel so good when the kitchen is all cleaned up and put back together after dinner. Thank you so much for helping. Even when they do something that is clearly just for them, such as organizing their room, avoid asking the question, doesn't that make you feel good? Because teenagers are likely to say, I like it messier. I'm just doing this for you. Better to say, excellent job. Well done. Al, here is a way you can put all this work in your family into play and change a negative pattern that has already developed into a more positive one. Creating change in family patterns is very hard to do, but here's something that'll work. Ready? Okay. Call a meeting of everyone in the family. Make sure that all devices are left on the kitchen counter so there's no distractions. Have some treats to make the meeting more positive. Then explain the problem you're having with chores. Number two, take responsibility for not having explained or set up chores as well as you should have. Once you take responsibility, then they're not being bailed out. You're just saying, okay, I should have set it up. I should have been clear. Now I'm going to be clear. Explain to them that key to successfully managing chores is having routine, and let them know why chores are important based on the reasons we discussed earlier. And if you've got any other ones, add those too. And then let them know what great kids they are and that successfully managing chores is now going to be an important part of the way they earn privileges. If they need any help or clarification with for any of their chores, you're happy to provide that. But privileges will only be earned when responsibilities, including home responsibilities, are properly managed. Repeat that you take full responsibility for the confusion and the problems that have been taking place. And this is your best effort to create a positive path forward for everyone. And remind them that you know that they're great kids and that you believe in them. Now, if you can do this, Al, I am confident that if you do stay positive and clear and consistent, you will have a new, more cooperative culture around chores in your family. All right, listeners, if you are parents or grandparents or have regular caregiving time with kids, make sure chores are a positive part of their learning experience. That way, you're letting them know that they matter and that you're giving them real skills for the adult life that lies ahead for them. All right, well, thanks for tuning in today, listeners, and thanks to Al from Chattanooga for inviting this discussion. And please, feel free to come to my website at neildbrown.com and sign up for my weekly newsletter, where there is plenty of helpful stuff there right now and plenty more in the pipeline. And if you haven't already, grab a copy of my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battles. Many readers have told me it's the least expensive and best counseling session they ever had. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. And you know what? You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neilbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.